football team, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, everyone, we welcome you to a new episode of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. I'm your host, Chris Russell. David Harrison is out tonight. We will be back together on the next episode and for a couple episodes after that. I know it's been a little bit of a rough go in terms of getting us on the same page, as David is busy, obviously, doing not only life, which we all should be busy doing, but also his Locked On Bucks coverage and BucksNation.com. I have been busy doing, well, everything that I do, hosting Monday through Friday on the Team 980, the Washington Football Team flagship station with Pete Medhurst from 3 to 7, as well covering Washington football on SI.com. And David is on Twitter at dharrison82, at dharrison82. I'm at Twitter, on Twitter, at WrestleMania621, and more importantly, the podcast is at Locked WFT Pod. David does a real good job keeping up with that, much better than I can, I will tell you that much. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And away we go with today's show. We will hear part one of my interview from the Team 980 with Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera. He joined Pete Medhurst and myself. We will hear about 10 minutes roughly of that. You can hear the entire interview on the Odyssey app. And just go to the Team 980, go to podcast, Russell and Medhurst, but we'll play the first 10 minutes or so. We'll try and get in the remainder of the interview later on this week. And again, David will rejoin us later on this week as well. My thanks to him for taking last night's show or yesterday's show to start the week. And now away we go with today's show. All right, so a couple of little news and notes items to get us started before we hear from Ron Rivera. Washington on Monday released wide receiver Jeff Badet, a 4.27 40 clocked wide receiver. Played in a couple of games, didn't really make any role and any impact as a receiver. Some special teams, obviously unbelievable speed. 4.27 is not, I guess, what it used to be because guys are running. You know, it seems like one every draft is running, you know, sub 4.3, and several, many are running 4.3, 4.31, 4.32. You get the point. It's still really fast. And Jeff Badet, again, was here for some time, and Washington kept adding receivers, first in free agency with Curtis Samuel and Adam Humphries, second in the draft, of course, over the weekend with Dyami Brown, and as well Dax Milne. So you get a situation where Jeff Badet gets released. He goes on Twitter saying, quote, "That was a mistake." In a later tweet, he then thanked Ron Rivera for the opportunity, which sounds to me like somebody with his career interests in mind, probably his agent, got to him and said, "Hey, you might want to pull that back." Listen, it's understandable to be frustrated, right? It's understandable to want more of an opportunity. I don't know what Washington didn't see enough of from Badet to give him a chance on the 90. I don't know that other than, you know, just because you're really fast doesn't mean you're a great receiver. Doesn't mean you will be a great route runner, a great tactician, a great pass catcher, so on and so forth. And obviously they felt they had enough of an evaluation that they'd rather take chances with two draft picks that they've evaluated not in person, but on tape and in meetings and so on and so forth. And clearly Dyami Brown adds a different dimension than Dax Milne, but still, you get the point. they added a couple of guys, and they're obviously going to create space for them. So he was released, meaning Bidette, again, criticized the team, said it was a mistake. Then he thanked Ron Rivera for the opportunity, and he'll go on his merry way. I'm sure he'll get a job here pretty quickly. You know, again, 90-man rosters are in play right now. Trevor Davis was also released. I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew anything about Trevor Davis. I've heard of him, but I don't know anything at all about him. So he was released on Monday as well. So Washington drafts two, and they release two. Now, they also added one undrafted free agent, and that's Buffalo running back Jarrett Patterson. Not the Buffalo Bills, not Buffalo State College, my alma mater, the University of Buffalo. Running back Jarrett Patterson. Now, you might wonder who Jarrett Patterson is. Well, I'm glad you asked. He's about 5'8", and he played in Buffalo for 3 years. Racked up a total of 3,884 yards and 52 touchdowns in his three-year college career. Now, listen, he's small. He's a jitterbug, but he's going to get an opportunity here because A, he's earned it, and B, because they need some sizzle. And they need somebody, ultimately, that has a little bit of juice and a little bit of wiggle to back up Antonio Gibson. Why? Because they were hoping and thinking that was going to be Bryce Love. It's not Peyton Barber. I mean, Peyton Barber is a short yardage kind of guy, a physical guy. Occasionally, he can do a little bit more and get into open space and, you know, break off maybe a run that was designed for 3 or 4 yards and turn it into 10 or 11. But we know that he doesn't have the long-term juice. We also know this, J.D. McKissic, not really a real running back. He's a pass catcher, and he's very good at it, and he'll be good at it. But it's also his final year under his contract, as it is with Peyton Barber. So they signed Jarrett Patterson to a undrafted free agent deal. And again, you might not maybe, you know, you've heard of this by now, but you might not remember this because, I mean, who watches Kent State football? Maybe some of you do. I don't. But on November 28th of this past year, Patterson had a game against Kent State for 409 yards and 8 touchdowns in a 70-41 win for the Buffalo Bulls. Now, that's an FBS record, 8 touchdowns in a game. Think about that. 8 touchdowns, you know, with extra points, that's 56 points out of 80. Out of 70. That's what Patterson counted for that particular day. In addition to the 52 touchdowns, as we mentioned, and almost 4,000 rushing yards. So this appears to be, you know, a pretty decent move for Washington. I mean, who knows if he's going to last? Who knows if he's going to really produce when he gets the opportunity? But there's a more than decent chance that he could absolutely make this roster. And here's also what's cool. He's from the area. He's from Glendale, Maryland. Went to St. Vincent Pilate High School. And oh yeah, that Chase Young guy, he was a teammate of his at St. Vincent in Maryland. Until, obviously, Chase Young went elsewhere. So, you have that connection. So, it looks like a pretty low-risk, high-potential reward-type situation. Washington has said they're not planning on bringing in any undrafted free agents. Now, Ron Rivera did say on a certain radio show, that would be Russell and Medhurst, that would be with my pal Pete Medhurst and myself, part of which you're going to hear here coming up in just moments. He did say that they have a couple of roster spots opening, open, and they're holding them not for undrafted free agents, but for veteran free agents. So we'll have to see what exactly happens there. Guys, Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way for you to get aboard in all the action, whether it's baseball, basketball, or hockey, or the upcoming Preakness, which is scheduled to run in almost 2 weeks after the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Of course, that was the first leg of the Triple Crown. You can go to betonline.ag, whether it's on the mobile device or whether it's on your laptop, and you can absolutely get in on all the action. Before the next pitch, head on over to betonline.ag, and they have up-to-date odds, markets, prop bets, live in-game prop bets, and all your sporting needs are satisfied and fulfilled at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in on the game as your teams prep for the return to the playoffs. Head to the website, again, or the mobile device, and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and is fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful, no matter what line you're looking at. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. All right, back here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast, David Harrison will return on the next episode. We'll be back together and hopefully better than ever. Coming up later on this week, we're scheduled to talk to Kentucky head coach Mark Stoops about Jamin Davis. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But first, speaking of head coaches, here's about 10 minutes of my interview on the Team 980, the Washington Football Team flagship station, along with my co-host Pete Medhurst, Russell and Medhurst, 3 to 7, Monday through Friday, on the Odyssey app, on the Team 980 AM, and as well on the Team980.com. Here's about 10 minutes of my conversation with head coach Ron Rivera for Monday afternoon after a 10-player draft class.
Coach Pete Medhurst and Chris Russell here. Appreciate you taking some time for us. How are you, sir?
I appreciate it, guys. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Ron, what's going on?
We're
how are you?
Well.
Doing good.
Good.
Pleased to have you with us. Got to ask you, after this three-day marathon like this, what on earth do you do to kind of decompress from all of this, this marathon that is the NFL draft over that three-day period?
Truthfully, sleep in, eat a lot, and then go play golf and get frustrated another way.
How'd you shoot yesterday?
I actually played pretty well for me. I think I shot an 84, so I was happy with that.
I did not play golf yesterday, but if I was out there, I probably could get it under 150, perhaps.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's always nice to get away, you know, because out on the golf course is a completely different thing for me. It's an opportunity to unwind and, you know, just kind of look at things. You know, but then, of course, you get home and I start going through the draft picks again and thinking about what we did. And you know, honestly, it felt good about it, guys. I really did.
Coach, you get a guy in Jamin Davis in the first round. And philosophically, you know, it's my first chance to talk to you. Do you value a guy like Davis, even a guy like Derek Forrest that came out of the system at Cincinnati, systems that are very strong defensively, great coaches in Mark Stoops and Luke Fickle, and trust that preparation that those guys may have before they ever walk into your door? How much do you value that when you're trying to decide between prospects?
You know, we do look at those things. You know, the programs that they're in, the success those programs have had, who's coaching them. We talk about all that. And it's interesting because, like, you know, when we put Jamin on and we're watching him, his football ability jumps out on the screen. You know, the way he plays just shows you that he's got the football playing ability. You know, he's got the athletic skill set that you're looking for. And then you get an opportunity to learn a little bit about him. Then you talk to him and you sit there and go, wow, you know what? This kid is an X's and O's fit. This guy's also a locker room fit. He's a cultural fit. So we felt good about all three of those things and just knowing he could do that. When you take a look at Derek Forrest and you see the way he plays on special teams, he played every phase of special teams. This is a guy that when you watch him and you see that they played Georgia in the bowl game, Georgia doubled him on special teams, on the punt coverage units. They doubled him. That's an SEC team saying, wow, we got to respect a kid at Cincinnati that much that we're going to double him. So you feel good about guys like that. Those are the things that you look for when you're watching tape, when you're studying guys, is the way they play, how they play, and how people attack them.
Ron, let me ask you a simple but I hope interesting answer for our audience. I think you said the other night, you know, that they give you a top 100 list, meaning, you know, yeah. Marty and Martin and whoever else is responsible for coming up with that top 100 list. How many games of cut-ups or coaches' film or whatever you guys use in your system will you watch, say, of each of those top 100, you specifically? Or will you narrow it to, like, a top 25 out of that 100, no. And maybe you'll watch 8-9 games of the top 25 and not as much of the rest of the 75? How does that process for you work?
Well, what I do is I watch the top 100 they give me. And it's not necessarily 1 through 100. It could be 1 through 200 because some of those guys are the guys that we're going to put into clumps or stacks, mm-hmm. You know, in the fifth round or the fourth round. So it's not like 1 through 100. But as I'm watching them, I typically watch three games. As I'm going through it, and all of a sudden I may say, God, you know what? I got to watch a little bit more. So I may watch a fourth game or like in receiver cases, you know, because they're hard to find, you know, a lot of action going to them or DBs, then I'll watch their hit tape as well. So a minimum of three, okay? And then, again, I'll go back, and if there's something that tells me I need to watch a little bit more, I will watch a little bit more. Sometimes after, you know, getting to the middle of the third tape and you go, you know what, I don't like this guy as much, so I'll move on. But you want to get a good feel. The thing you got to be careful about, I got to be careful about, is that let's say I pop on a tape and he didn't play very well in that game. I don't want to go into the next game thinking, okay, here we go again. Mm-hmm. You know, so I try to keep it as open in mind as possible so I can get through all three tapes, all three games, you know, with a well-informed opinion on somebody.
Coach, when I look at your first two picks, the thing that sticks out on both guys, I think, is ceiling, because I still think there's more from both players that can be gained. I think Sam is so raw as a player still that with the professional ability to coach him, I think there's just still so much more from Sam Cosmi. Do you see still a lot of ceiling with Sam right now as an offensive lineman that you all can get out of him?
Oh, agree. I really do, and I don't disagree with you about the ceiling. I think here's a guy that has a good, solid base, but his biggest thing, more so than anything else, is a lot of little details he's got to clean up. He's a good physical player. He gets after it. He plays with emotion. He plays with heart. Love guys like that. When you start looking at what his faults are, you see little things, footwork, hand placement, the way he carries his hands, those things you sit there and go, he can get better at that. We can help him with that. And then you feel good about drafting him where we did.
When you look at a guy like St. Juste, Ron, you know, Pete and I were talking about him on Friday night, actually, before round two started, and he was a guy that I wanted, so I was real happy that you guys got him. But do you see him as – and I know he can play eventually safety. I know he's got the long frame. You know – and I want to be careful. I don't put you in a tough situation here. Can you see him as like a Richard Sherman type, or is he more a Cam Chancellor type? Like, am I looking too much into the prototype build and looking for comparable? But do you draw that in your mind when you're evaluating a kid with that length and that size?
You know, that's one thing that I do like to do is I do like to try to draw the comps. and sit there and say, you know what, this is a Richard Sherman type player. He's got good length. He's got good speed. He's got good play strength. And he's a more than willing tackler. You know, and a lot of times when you find a corner that's a willing tackler, but he's got marginal speed, everybody wants to put him back there in the secondary as a safety. Right. This kid's got good speed and length. You know, he runs well, and because of his length, he appears to run better. You know, guys that are 6'2 and a half, 6'3 with length, even though they may run a 4.45 or a 4.5, that length adds about, you know, takes off about a 0.5 of a second. Just because of that, just because when he reaches those arms out, when he strides those legs, he gains ground. But this, you know, St. Juste is a guy that you know, to us, we want to give him a shot at corner because he's a good framed guy. He's got good size. He's going to give people trouble because of how strong he is. And again, if there is a need, if there's a chance, maybe you do take a look at him and say, let's put him at safety. Let's see if he has that skill set too. But right now we like him as a corner.
But the comparable to Sherman is not that far off, right?
Oh no. I mean, I compare him to, you know, guys that I've typically had, you know, and for what we do, he reminds me of James Bradberry, who's with the Giants. He also reminds me of Josh Norman, who I had in Carolina. I mean, I had both those guys in Carolina. They're both long guys that run well. But because of their skill set and that length, I think that these guys are the kind of fits that, you know, he's the kind of fit we want for what we do defensively.
Coach, you got obviously with Curtis's acquisition and then you add De'Ami Brown, you've certainly enhanced your team's speed on the offensive side. And the one thing about De'Ami is there's a lot of good highlight out there on him. Yep. When you watch full games, at times the hands can betray him a little bit. But this is a guy that has a lot of feast within that skill set. I imagine adding as much speed to the team as possible is the lure there. But he's one of those guys that, again, refinement is necessary. And if the hands can come around consistently on anything but the fly patterns for him, you really found an intriguing prospect at 82.
We did. You know, when you dig into the numbers that are produced by Pro Football Focus and some of the other people, you see certain things that stand out. One thing that stood out, and I wish I'd memorized it better, but De'Ami had a contested catch number that was phenomenal. And that there's a lot of truth to it. And I saw the same thing you guys saw when you're watching tape on it. And that was the occasional drop. And to me, those were concentration drops. Those were balls that were more than catchable. But if you watch, he never watches it in. His eyes are already looking downfield, or he's already starting to turn before the ball gets to him. I like it when he reaches out and plucks that ball, you know, because now, you know, he's focused all the way through the catch. It's when he sits there and tries to cradle the ball and those eyes are turning or he's looking ahead that he struggles a little bit. And those aren't a lot. Those happen on occasion. And you just know that this is a kid with his explosive vertical threat is going to open things up for Curtis. They're going to open up for Terry. They're going to open up for Adam. You know, they're going to open up for our tight ends, you know, for Logan. I mean, you just feel that a guy like this is going to help impact the rest of the offense and the players around him as well.
All right, once again, that is head coach Ron Rivera, about 10 good minutes with Pete Medhurst and myself, again, on the flagship station for Washington Football. That would be the Team 980. You can hear the entire interview on the Odyssey app. Just go to the Team 980 while you're also listening to this, the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast on the Odyssey app. And we'll likely have the rest of that interview throughout the week when David returns. All right. This episode of the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. Whether it's an old model, a newer model, whether it's a foreign or domestic, Fiat or Kia, Pacifica, XT, whatever your model is, whatever parts you need from rockauto.com, we're going to get them to you at a great and fair price, and we're going to treat you the same as everyone else. And when I say that, I mean they're not going to treat the local mechanic down the road better and give him better price points because he buys in volume and because they know each other. And maybe he brings them coffee and maybe he does this for them. But no, no, no. That's not going to happen at rockauto.com. And that's a good thing. You're going to get treated the same way. You're going to get treated fairly. And you're going to be able to get whatever part you need for your car or truck. And when you go to rockauto.com, they're a family business. They're going to help you get the part that you need. And you can go to their website, again, rockauto.com. And in their How Did You Hear About Us box, put Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, just wrapping up the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast here with a couple of quick notes for you on this Tuesday edition. And I'm Chris Russell. David Harrison, again, will be back. So we all wondered what was going on with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. David and I had talked about JOK a number of times, and obviously he not only didn't go in the number 19 pick to the Washington Football Team, which many thought he would, he didn't even go in the first round, and then he lasted all the way to pick number 52. Well, according to Adam Schefter, first to report this of ESPN, JOK had a heart issue that came up late in the process and was a concern for most teams. So that's why he fell all the way down to pick number 52 and the Cleveland Browns. That, according to multiple sources, doctors ultimately cleared JOK, according to Schefter, but it did contribute to him falling. So, listen, we wish Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah all the very best. We wish the Cleveland Browns all the very best. Hopefully they have this under control, and hopefully he goes on to have a stellar career. But not only was I not in love with him just because of his size, ability to translate over to middle linebacker, you also don't need anything bad happening under your watch. Washington has already been through that. And a quick note from Trevor Sekema of course, the Locked On NFL draft coverage here on the Locked On Podcast Network and as well Pro Football Network. He graded the Washington Football Team an A. He gave them an A for their draft class. Not an A+, but not an A-. And he really, I had him on my radio show as well. We'll get him back on here. He really, really, really liked the pick of Sam Cosmi and as well Dyami Brown. All right, so that's going to do it for us right here on the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast. Thanks for being with us. Again, David Harrison will be back on the next episode, and we'll be together for a little while here. So we appreciate you guys being patient with our schedule. We appreciate you guys listening as always. Please keep sharing the word and make sure you download, subscribe, review, send in your comments. We will read them as quickly as we get. Please check out at LockedWFTPod on Twitter for all the information David puts up. You can follow David at DHarrison82. Listen to him on the Locked On Bucks podcast and at BucksNation.com as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at WrestleMania621. All right, David back on the next episode. Thanks for being with us. I'm Chris Russell. Thanks to Ron Rivera and Washington Football Team PR. Again, you can listen to the rest of that interview on the Odyssey app. And we will see you soon. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Washington Football Team podcast.